This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's Kenny Caraway. It's James Ham filling in for Damian Barling today. The Kings have the number 4 pick in the draft. Man. I'm still hyped about this. I got to make sure I got to pace myself here, James. We've got about a month and a half before the draft. I got to pace myself. I got to calm down. There may be days when I just don't even look at a draft board, when I don't even look at a mock draft, you know, and I say, no, I'm not going to deal with it because I'm amped up right now, James. Yeah, work me through it. You're a guy that you did, what, like 20 mock drafts, and you probably will this time too, throughout the course of the draft season, right? How am I going to get through this here with the Kings at the 4?
Yeah. Well, I mean, now we know what's going to happen at the top. Now we can start making predictions on what a team like Orlando will do at number 1. You know, I mean, that's where you really start to break these things down. How do each of these prospects fit for a team like Orlando? And then once you get done with that one, you move to the next one. And like, again, how do these players fit with OKC? I think OKC is an interesting case where, you know, they've got Giddey, they've got Shai Gilgeous, but outside of that, they've got all kinds of options, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, they can go a bunch of different ways and they build this thing out. They've got Lu Dort. Mm-hmm. You know, so chances are they're probably going to be looking at one of those big men pretty heavily. I think Jabari would fit perfectly in OKC. Orlando is, I think, a little bit different. You know, they really like Wendell Carter. And so, like, what are they going to do there? And, you know, they've got young bigs. They've got Mo Bamba that's a restricted free agent this summer and probably could be had in the right situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's a guy that the Kings kick the tires on and go,
I absolutely would kick the tires.
Yeah, I mean, he's been able to space the floor. He's still a great shot blocker. He hasn't really developed like people thought, but... But then again, he's played on a bad team that doesn't develop it, you know, hasn't developed a lot of players. So, I really do think that when you're looking at the way you build out a mock draft, is you look at the players that are going to be. I'm going to sneeze.
Uh-oh. Sneezing, James Ham. I've been there, you know what I'm saying, where the sneeze just overtakes. Trust me, every 12 o'clock during the allergy season, I wouldn't sneeze the whole day, right? We get on the air, all of a sudden I'm just sneezing, pressing the mute button, all this other stuff. It's crazy. Been there, done that, like Dre.
Yeah, totally. So, again, I'm going to go through each of these teams, and I'm going to look who I think fits best there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, if the Rockets, does a big man make sense for the Rockets? Does Paolo Banchero make sense for the Orlando Magic? Because they're a team that can't score. Does he make sense as a scoring big at the 4? Yes. And so if he has the most scoring potential, maybe it does upset the top end of the draft. Maybe all of a sudden now you're looking at Chet and Paolo going to, Chet and Jabari are the next two. And you're looking at OKC and which one of those guys fits better. Again, Jabari, you get to the Rockets, you know, with the Rockets like a running mate with Jalen Green, does Shaden Sharpe or does Jaden Ivey make sense there? Yeah. So you can start to rationalize how some of these players could go to different places. I really do think, you know, again, someone brings up the Rockets have Christian Wood. Well, are the Rockets interested in trading Christian Wood for a different type of player? And maybe you can go get Christian Wood. Yeah. So you can start looking at how these things could work out for your team. And again, like I, if one of those guys goes Jabari Smith, say the Rockets get Jabari at number three somehow, man, Rashawn Holmes would make a lot of sense with him.
So
if you can, maybe he makes more sense than Christian Wood. Maybe they can play together, but you know, you still have Şengün, and you know, you want to bring young players up along the way. But you know, I'll look at this, like I probably won't do that many mock drafts this year because we're already so late in the season, but like the Tyrese Haliburton draft, I did 23 mock drafts.
Oh my. Like, how do you do 23 mock drafts?
Well, because it started so early. Like, because the season ended because of the shutdown.
Yeah, lockdown, okay.
And then, yeah, so, like, you just kept writing new versions of this stuff and watching more and more and more film, talking to more people, seeing where, you know, they thought this guy would go or that guy would go. So I really do think that, like, this one is going to be a little closer. We're going to rip through this pretty quick, and I'll probably do one or two mock drafts here as we get closer and closer to the day. But the Kings are in a very good position, and it's a valuable position. That's what I'll keep saying. It's a pivot in the draft where, you know, we can probably say at this point it's a 4-5 man top end draft. It's really a top three, but the four and the fifth guy could switch places. They could also climb and push one of the other top three down into the conversation. So, yeah, it's a good spot to be in.
Yeah, and I've said it a couple of different times here today on the show. Said it on Twitter, @IMKDiddy. Go follow your man if you need to. I like Jaden Ivey. I like him a lot. He is, somebody said it earlier, and they're right, he's box office. When you look at the highlights and you see the way he jumps off the screen.
Super fun.
Man, I would, if the Kings took Jaden Ivey, I'd be hyped. You know, about what he could possibly do here in Sacramento. Keegan Murray, I like some of the stuff that he brings to the table. I have my concerns, but the things that are pros in favor of Keegan Murray, I'm all with it. Stretch four, the guy put up, you know, big time numbers in college, did what he did. Seems like he has a high IQ, a high understanding of the game. I'd be happy with Keegan Murray as well. I'd scratch my head about, you know, taking him at four, but I look at some of the positives that he can do and be like, hey, if he can do those things here in Sacramento, that'll help this team out a lot. But if I'm making the pick at four, James, for me personally, I'm rolling the dice. I'm swinging for the fence. I'm going after the big fish. I'm taking the enigma. He's an enigma for some people. But I'm taking Shaedon Sharpe. I look at what he could be in this league. I look at him being 6'6", 6'4", whatever. The guy's got a 7-foot wingspan. Could be 7'2". He's like 19 years old. By the time he's 22, he could have a 7'4 wingspan. He could be 6'9 for all we know, right? I'm taking the guy that essentially is what everybody in the NBA is looking for. A guy that can play multiple positions, that can handle the ball well enough, that can score from all three levels, a dynamic score. He has the measurables. I'm going with Shaedon Sharpe. And I know it's risky. There is no guarantees at all to taking Shaedon Sharpe. There are a lot of risky elements to it. The fact that you can't even get accurate game film on him. Against high level, like you're getting these Adidas Nation games and EYBL, and they're playing in gyms the size of McClatchy High School in some of these footage. But I don't know. I look at the skill level, and I say, man, this is something Sacramento has never had. They haven't had a guy with that type of skill level that can score on three levels the way it seems Shaedon can do. And like I said, I'm going after the big fish. I'm going big fish hunting, man. You can keep the beta fish. Not saying that they're beta, but you know what I mean, the small fish. I'm going for the big fish. I'm going for Shaedon. Let's go. Bring him here.
I get it. I'm still on the fence. I'm still hoping that somebody else takes that swing with him a little higher
okay.
and pushes one of the bigs down. And I think that that would be the way that the Kings stay there. But I'm also going to say, like, look, if that's their choices, if the top, if the, the big, the 1, 2, and 3 are some sort of, it's Chet, Jabari, and Paolo, I believe the Kings will trade the pick. Like, I know you want him, but, and I'm okay with him, but I'm just going to tell you that at the end of the day, like, if it goes that way, if the draft goes that way, I see the Kings trading. And even if it doesn't, I could still see the Kings trading unless some reason Jabari or Chet fall.
Now,
and so,
now, you know. I understand that. I'm not against that. You know, the number one goal for me for the most part is we got to end this streak. All right. And if Monty and these guys feel that they can get closer to ending the streak by trading that pick for somebody that's established or anything like that, all right, let's do that. However, James, I mentioned it earlier. When you talk about trading the Kings first round pick, once again, to quote the great Fat Joe, yesterday's price is not today's price. The price has gone up. So I'm not sure if I want John Collins for the number 4 pick. I'm not sure. I may, the price has changed now. If when it was 7 or 8 or possibly 10, yeah, sure, we could talk John Collins. I don't know if I'm giving up 4 for John Collins. The price has gone up, and what I'm looking for, if I'm trading that number 4 pick, has also gone up.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. This thing went from, you know, like a nice, solid rotational player, you know, like the level of Harrison Barnes, like a good rotational player pick, veteran player, to the potential for an all-star level or all-star player at number 4. That's where this pick went. So, I'm with you 100%. Like, the price has gone up for what you're asking for that pick. But there's still a sign on it. There's still a, there's still a price.
You can
still get that pick. And so, like, look, I think at the end of the day, that's the beauty of moving up in the draft. You literally won the lottery. You went from having less value to greater value. And I think the Kings, they're going to keep every option open. Mm-hmm. And look, we thought that they were going to trade the pick last year. Well, without any question, we thought they were going to trade the number 9 pick.
Yeah.
They rope-a-doped that thing and then, you know, and then drafted Davion and shocked everybody. It wasn't just that they didn't trade the pick. It's that they drafted someone that no one expected. So I expect them to do their due diligence. But again, for us to really not be able to have true expectations until it's time. I mean, I heard a million times from inside last year, good chance we're trading this pick. Mm. And then nothing worked out. And so I would have liked to have seen some of the options that were on the table. Was there something that, like, made a ton of sense? Or was there something that was close? Maybe. Mm. But I can also tell you this. They were close to getting John Collins at the deadline.
Mm.
Like they made a run at John Collins. And from what I've heard, they went at him and almost came away with him. Now, does that mean that they couldn't have pulled off the Sabonis deal and that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, that's always, oh, we'll deal with it in the off season. You know, at that time, you got to remember that Atlanta started rolling right before the trade deadline. They started winning all over the place. And so it's almost like they pulled back, and then Collins got hurt. They were bad down the stretch. They really struggled. They didn't do great in the playoffs, all these things, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things where Atlanta thought that they probably could just push it off to the offseason. Like, look, let's give this one last try and see what happens. Yeah. And then we'll probably be able to get, you know, the 7th pick or the 8th pick or whatever it is that they have, and then maybe another pick. But when it goes to number 4, all of a sudden, again, the math changes. So now we're not talking about you getting extra picks. We're talking about you getting, you know, this and this, but not this. And some of the players that might have been in that deal are no longer available for that deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's how I think this thing will play out. I think it'll be a little different.
You know what? All great points. But you know what, James? We gotta give some props and some thanks for while we're even in this position. Now, I'm going to tell you who those that thanks needs to go to. I'm going to tell you who it is on the other side when we come back, because there's some acknowledgement that needs to be given for why we're even in this spot. I'm going to tell you who it goes to, man. It's D'Lo and Casey, James Hamm filling in for Damian Barley right here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
You have a chance to win two VIP tickets to the Golden Sky Fest, a two-day music, beer, and food fest at Discovery Park this October 15th and 16th. Enter on the contest page at ESPN1320.net. That's something that sounds like a James Hamm event. Well, Golden Sky Fest. Music, beer, and food. James Hamm. Seems like a James Hamm function, huh?
I like food, and I'm okay with beer. I'm not a big beer drinker, but yeah. And I like music. It just depends on who's there.
I'd go just for the ambiance. You know, just be out there. You know, see what's going on. People watch, things of that nature. I don't know what music's going to be played out there. I don't think it's going to be like Soul Bloom, but I'd still go out there anyway. So, aside from raccoons and possums and geese, which is what we were talking about during the commercial break, you got to check us out on YouTube and Twitch. We talk about a little bit of everything. I got to get back to the Kings. And you know, James, the Kings didn't get the number four pick in the draft yesterday by happenstance. It wasn't a mere coincidence that this happened. No. The Kings had, you know, some good vibes come their way. And I mentioned it earlier, Kanye West album, My Dark Twisted Fantasy. There's a skit on there where Chris Rock is talking to, you know, his girlfriend, and she's this amazing girl and she does all this other stuff. And he's like, where did you learn to do all this? And she goes, Yeezy taught me. And he's like, well, where did you learn to do the same? Yeezy taught me. Well, how did you know how to do this? Yeezy taught me. And eventually, Chris Rock says, well, you know what? I just got to thank Yeezy. I got to thank Yeezy. And you know what? I think all of us as Sacramento Kings fans, we got that number four pick. And you know what? I think we all got to take the time and we just got to thank @Nani. Yeah, we just got to thank @Nani on Twitter. Just thank her. Because Angelie, right? That's how you say her name? Angelie Ronadive?
Angelie, yep.
Angelie Ronadive, yesterday, joined the Kings family in a higher role. I guess she was already there. But she took a higher role as a Stockton Kings assistant GM. And you know what? I'm going to give her credit. I'm going to give her roses. And I'm going to say her good vibes brought the Kings good vibes. Got him that number four pick. And once again, everybody on Twitter, I want you to tag @D'Lo and KC. I want you to tag @IMKDiddy. And I want you to go to Miss Rhonda Dive's page and just say, thank you, @Nani, because it was her vibes that brought us that four pick.
You want me to respond? I'm all in on thanking Domantas Sabonis. I'm there with you.
Now let's talk about the actual. I was having a little fun there too, but let's talk about the actual story about her joining the Stockton Kings as the assistant general manager. This happened later in the day, about an hour before the lottery. And to be honest with you, James, it had an opportunity to, like, turn everything on its head in Kings. Well, it did turn everything on its head in Kings Twitter. And we forgot about it once the lottery balls came out in our favor. But, man, people were like, what is this all about? Why are we doing this? I was one of them. Not that she shouldn't be part of the franchise. Like, that's, I said yesterday, if I own an NBA team and Reese says, I want a job and I want to work and be a part of this franchise. Guess what? He's going to work. He's going to get a job and be part of this franchise. Like, that's, people call it nepotism, whatever. Like, that's just, I have no problem with that. I do have a little bit of concern when she's the assistant general manager. There's other jobs that you could have given her. There's a job, there's multiple jobs that you could have created to ease her into this thing, as opposed to being the assistant general manager for the Stockton Kings. And that's where I was like, yo, that's a little wild. Your thoughts, James?
Yeah, of all the times that the Sacramento Kings have made up a title, this is one where they should have made up a title. Like, I mean, I'm just going to be real. Like, I don't know her. I haven't had conversations with her about basketball. Have I been in the same room with her? Yes. Have I seen her in the hallways? Yes. Do I have anything against her? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I've been very clear for a long time that if I own the Sacramento Kings, my son Toby would be with me all the time. He would be my right-hand man. I'd be bouncing stuff off him all the time. We'd be having a good time running the Sacramento Kings. I had no problems with Anil being his dad's sounding board. I have no problems with Anjali being her father's sounding board. None of that. But there are people in the league who have worked years and years and years trying to get to a point to earn one of these jobs. And this is someone who joined the franchise during the season last year in, what is it, the social responsibility department. She does not have a basketball background outside of her dad led her team. And, oh, she's played in the celebrity tournaments, the celebrity all-star game at All-Star Weekend, right? Like, this isn't even about, like, is she brilliant? Is she not? You know, man or woman? Like, again, like, the Ronna Dive children should be part of this because they're going to inherit this at some point. But at the end of the day, like, this is a real job. This is a real job where you don't just have to know the 450 players in the NBA. You got to know all the two-way players. And then you got to know another, like, 1,000 names of potential players. You got to worry that, like, game 30 of the season, the Sacramento Kings will completely gut the Stockton Kings roster because of a COVID outbreak. And they'll have to find 6 players off the street to go fill out a roster. Like, you have to know the game. You have to have sources. You have to have ties with agents that you can call and say, who do you got for me? Like, you have to have all these things in place. And that's just not, like, there are a lot of ways you could have brought her into the fray where it wouldn't have been so jarring. And like, for a lot of people in the industry, like, offensive. Like, there are a lot of kids that work for their parents in the NBA, that their parents are owners. But that's not what this is. This is, like, a very, like, important job at the G League level, but important because this job is in the room with the main job. With because when they go draft and when they go talk about second-round picks and when they go build out a summer league roster, those are Monty, Wes, Phil Johnson, the GM for the Stockton Kings. That's what, like, this group has to build out this roster all the time, and it's complicated. And you need to know the game really well, and you need to know not just, like, study up on, memorize every player in this year's draft. You got to have some basis for breaking down players and understanding players and evaluating players. And so, again, I think that there are ways that this could have been done where we weren't, like, looking at this, like, in this way. Like she's in the room doing some scouting stuff, a assistant player personnel director or something, where you're easing her into some position to learn a bunch, and you want her to learn some of the basketball side. That's one thing. But, like, we talk about meddling ownership, and now his daughter is in the room while they're making their draft selections. And, like, and it's an experience, and it's, like, all the things that you worry about when you talk about nepotism, like, why is someone getting a job like this? And so, like, again, I don't have any problems with any of them. I you've got to learn everything from top to bottom, but, you know, there's a way that you start in any business, and you don't usually get to skip like 14 steps and go straight to an assistant GM, even if it is a G League GM, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There's only two of them. It's not like this has like a monstrous staff.
The thing about it with me is, and like I said, I may look at it differently than most or whatever the case may be. And I'm just going to assume, because I don't know, I've never spoken to her or she hasn't spoken on the situation. I'm assuming that she genuinely wants to do this. This is a genuine job and career path that she's trying to do. And she could be great at it. I for all we know, you know, I don't look at her taking that job as an indictment on her or what she might be able to do at that job. I hope she does great, to be honest with you. The issue that I have when you're just talking about the perception is you did her no favors by putting her in that situation. You know what I mean? Like if she's really trying to do this, she's already, perception wise, she's already behind the eight ball because you placed her in that spot. Like you said, if you would have eased her in with a different title, and she could have been in the same meetings, the same brainstorming sessions between all the same people. But if you had a different title for her as like special advisor to the whatever, something that gave her a less title,
front office intern.
Right. Like you could have done something like that. And it would have, like I said, you're making the job hard for her. Cause now people are looking at her, like with some people maybe looking at her with like a side eye with, you don't deserve this, as opposed to just trying to help her out and help her along her journey. And that's the thing that I'm looking like, hey, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do it in that way. You didn't have to give her that title. And it just kind of maybe made things difficult for her perception wise, moving forward.
Well, that, and you know, like they asked the question, you know, I've had conversations like, how does Vivek like fix the perception of him, of himself, like with the fan base? Mm-hmm. And you know, like it's by avoiding situations like this. Like this mm-hmm. is avoidable. This isn't, it is really difficult to wrap your head around like how you thought this would go over well. And that, to be honest with you, the Kings are so lucky they moved up to number four in the draft, mm-hmm. because if they didn't, this would have been the story the rest of the week.
Right.
It would have been the story. If they dropped to number eight, you joke around and give her credit, she would have been blamed. Mm-hmm. And it's just like perception is reality in this business. And in a lot of life, it is. And the perception of this is not good. Right. It's just not. And again, she could be wonderful at this. And I hope she's given a fair shake to do this. But at the same time, like, just like think ahead about what the PR hit is going to
exactly.
be. And if you want to change the way that you're thought of in the league, if you want to, in your own city, by your own fan base, if you want to change the way that you're thought of, then do things differently. Mm-hmm. Like don't do things that are a shock to the system and that no one can make sense of.
Right.
Like no one can make sense of this. Like how, when we get to, you know, Mike Brown's press conference and Monty McNair is sitting up there, do you think that there's going to be a question about this? Mm-hmm. Probably. Mm-hmm. And how do you answer that question?
I don't know.
He owns the team. Like, what do you mean? Like, you know, I mean, that's not going to be the answer. The answer is like, we think she, you know, she's got a bright basketball mind and we're, you know, welcoming with open arms and stuff like that. But,
and that's another, not to cut you off, but that's another unfair situation. Because Vivek, you're not going to be up there at the podium answering that question. You know, now you've got Monty answering that question. Or if she's at the podium, she's going to be asked that question. Where it's just unfair and unnecessary to put all these people in these difficult situations just based on a title. Like I said, if you want her in the organization and she wants to take it seriously and be a part of it, 100%. I will say it again. If I
agree.
Own the team, and my son wants to be a part of it, he's going to be a part of it. But there's an, there's a way that PR wise, you can make it less of a negative experience, at least to start, than what
they
did. Yeah,
just less jarring, jarring for everyone. Yeah. And like, look, I hope it works out. I hope it works out for her. I hope it works out for everybody. You know, maybe she discovers, like, you know, the next Pascal Siakam. You know, and like, maybe there's something here, and like, but at the same time, you could have done this differently. And to me, that it, I feel that so often with this group, like, boy, we could have handled that one differently.
Yeah.
And so again, I like the, there is no benefit of a doubt here. That's the problem. You're not going to give someone the benefit of the doubt here. You're just going to like wonder how much this impacts, you know, Paul Johnson's ability to do his job. And hope that, you know, that this thing works out for everybody involved, and that, you know.
Now, here's the other thing, and I wish I had it in here. As pragmatic pessimist stated earlier, and we went through last yesterday on the show, is that it seems like Joe Lacob's son at 22 years old had the same start. Like, he was the assistant general manager. Matter of fact, I think if he wasn't the assistant general manager, he might have had a higher title than what Ms. Rana Dive has for her initial title. We talked about Miami, and you talked about how there are other family members in jobs. And there, we talked about in Miami, Mickey Harrison's son holds a higher position than what she has with the Stockton Kings. He has a higher position with the Miami Heat. So it's not out of left field, but it's also a situation where we know that, you know, she was an R&B singer, and she tried that career, and the reputation of the Kings and Rana Dive and other, it's just a bad look to do it in this way. And it's like you said, it could have been handled so much differently and so much smoother, to be honest.
Well, that, I mean, like, look, if you want to change the perception of yourself in a city, this isn't the way to do it. You know, like at the end of the day, like, and you can talk about the Warriors and the Lakers and the Heat and the Denver Nuggets and the Atlanta Hawks. You know what all of those teams have in common? They don't have a 16-year playoff drought. You know, they don't have this. This is not like what their life is all about. They are winning teams. They are winning franchises that have done it right and done a lot of different things, you know, to like, to make what they do like more palatable. So, yeah. And look, you know, like people like in the chat here, like, would I be more qualified for that job? Like, I wouldn't ever ask for that job or put my name in for that job. But yes, I've covered the draft for 13 straight years. I've interviewed all these people. I've covered the draft even longer than that. I've studied it like nonstop. So yeah, it just, it's another one of those things where you just look at it like, okay, here we go again. I hope this works out, and we shouldn't be saying I hope this works out so often. So.
Well, once again, I hope this works out.
They had time to negotiate that contract.
I mean,
how about that?
They've got it, and that's the other thing. We talked about it earlier. We'll talk about it again right now. This situation with Monty McNair, you mentioned they're all in Chicago. I mean, they're all there. Monty McNair, Vivek, Wes Wilcox, they're all there. And we're still having to worry about whether or not Monty McNair is a lame duck GM, if there's even a consideration, if there's even negotiations for a contract extension, when he has to make probably the biggest decision of his young career in less than a month.
And in the franchise's history.
Yes. Yes. I don't understand why that's up in limbo right now as well. I mean, that should take priority. Yeah. And like I said earlier, you're all right there. Like, what are you doing for 24 hours a day? Where you're so busy? I know people are busy. I know they're multimillionaires and billionaires and have all these deals that they got to look at. I'm not minimizing it, but what are you doing where you can't have this conversation? You can't even have the conversation.
That just tells you that they don't want to have the conversation, or they don't want to have it yet. I mean, like that conversation should have already been had.
Yeah.
So,
I said earlier, and you echoed it. This conversation should have been had when they internally, even before, you know, they made it official. Internally, when they decided they're going to move on from Alvin Gentry and he's not going to be the main coach, the same, okay, we're going to go looking for a coach. So am I going to grow with this coach, or am I just still on my 1 year? Like, that's when the conversation should have been had, in the beginning of April sometime. And here we are close to June. Now you got this this gift from the basketball gods where you've got a top four pick and you could possibly get a franchise changing guy. And you still haven't even had the conversation about whether the guy making the decision is going to be around to see this thing through.
Well, and even if you read Sam Amick's report on this, because this is something I've been saying about the Monty situation for a while. I've been talking about it like nonstop on the podcast. We've written about it. But like even in when Sam Amick wrote his piece, he said that it was a topic of discussion with potential coaching hires. Like, what's the plan? So again, maybe they got a something that made sense. Maybe they did. Maybe they got a, they're part of a conversation that, you know, they're like, okay, that makes sense to me. Mm. But that's not out there. And, right. And it's certainly not, you know, again, there are reasons why it's out. This conversation is out there right now that Monty McNair has not had his contract, you know, why they haven't negotiated at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very specific.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, we can only hope, like you mentioned earlier, with the Kings, with this number four pick, that, number one, I just hope that they get, you know, everything squared away with Monty and Wes Wilcox and their contract. I think that would be, first and foremost, the best thing. But if they're not able to, that Monty does whatever is best for the team. And I have no reason to believe that he won't, because he's a stand-up guy, and I just think that's the way he gets things done. But if he can do it with a clear conscience, with a clear mind, where it's not, all right, I kind of think this is best for the team, but my boss wants me to make the playoffs now, so I'm not going to draft the guy that, you know, may take 2 years to develop, even though that's best. I'm going to go ahead and make this deal, which is a short-term thing. But, you know, all that stuff going on. I hope that he's able to make whatever decision that he wants to make for this franchise. And what you just stated, which I agree with, the biggest decision in the history of the franchise at this point, with a clear mind and do it with a genuine heart.
Yeah. Well, look, I honestly think, and George, just reading the chatty house, no, she's not more qualified for a GM job than Vlade Divac. Divac played in the league for years and like was around the league forever. Like, that's not what this is about. Like, again, we can compare apples and oranges all we want if that's what the deal is. But, to get back to Monty, like, I've had plenty of conversations with Monty. Monty's a good dude. Mm-hmm. Like, deep down, he's a good guy. He wants to do right here. He wants to get this thing back where it should go. And, you know, I hope that it all works out for him in the end. And I already see sort of the changes. I mean, we're down to literally like two players that were on the roster. Rashawn Holmes, De'Aaron Fox, and Harrison Barnes that were on the roster before, you know, he took over the team. Right. So three players total. And I don't expect, at a minimum, I don't expect Rashawn Holmes to be back. Mm-hmm. So like he's completely turned over the roster in 2 years. He's got them in good salary cap space, where next year they have upwards of $70 million of salary cap space. He's got all of his draft picks, including the number four pick in this draft, but also 2 second-round picks in this draft, all of his draft picks going forward. He's done everything to show me that he's on the right path. He's got De'Aaron Fox locked up long-term. He's got Sabonis. And the things they've done to help build Sabonis up in the franchise is great. Mm-hmm. You know, him being there as a face of the franchise for the NBA draft lottery was spectacular. Him having a great moment was spectacular. These are all things that, you know, I think Monty has a big hand in. And so, again, I hope that it works out. I hope that we're on the right path and that he figures out how to get a long-term extension, however that is, that needs to happen. But, you know, again, if you want to preach consistency, you want to preach all these things that they preach, then actually follow through and do the stuff yourself. You know, it's one thing to keep saying, you know, we want our team to be consistent and we want to get better and better. But then every time you take a step forward, you take like four steps back or like three lateral steps and then two steps backwards. You're just coming from a different angle now, but you took two steps back. It really does. Like, it gets frustrating for everybody involved and everybody who covers it and watches it. And it's always the same perpetual cycle.
Yeah. Damian's brought up this possibility in the past, but do you think it's possible that Monty is the one saying, I want to hold off on this? I'm not sure if I want to be married to this franchise for years moving forward, so we can revisit this at a later date. Do you think there's a possibility of that?
I think that's highly unlikely because, again, I don't think that's how this would play out. That's not how Sourced would put it out there and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's pretty straight up. Now, like, there is always a possibility that Monty is undecided about whether he wants to be here long term. Mm-hmm. There's always that possibility. But I think that there's still a point where you need to go into negotiations and you might like push it off a little bit and say, look, let me see what we can do this offseason and then go from there, because I'm not going to take the same money that I'm making right now. Mm-hmm. And let me show you what I can do. Maybe, but you know, you let the guy just hire a coach and give him a 4-year deal. Like, and you know that the issue with your franchise is not choosing a path and sticking with it. Mm-hmm. And you let the guy dismantle an entire roster. You let him trade a player who could be a future all-star in Halliburton for a 25-year-old center in Domantas Sabonis. I mean, like, you're kind of pot committed at this point with him, and but you're not. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a little strange.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just, I keep getting back to it. It's just crazy that these conversations aren't even really being had. Like, I don't understand that whatsoever. But that's what's going on. You know, we kind of took a left turn here in the last 20-30 minutes on what's going on. Yesterday was a fun day for the Sacramento Kings and Sacramento Kings fans. It was a fun day. It was a great moment. And I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun ride to this draft. And then seeing, like, what they do with the draft pick, seeing the draft pick in summer league and all this other stuff, or, you know, maybe not, maybe they get an established player, but that'll be fun in itself as well. Yesterday was a good day for the Kings and for Kings fans. I thought, you know what I mean? It started off a little rocky, you know, it had people scratching their head for a little bit, but at the end of the day, it was exciting. It was a lot of fun. And I was glad we got a chance to talk about stuff like that today as well.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of this has been a good 24 hours for the Kings, like, embrace the good and avoid the chaos, you know, that's the way this should go. Like, embrace the good, avoid the chaos. And so I hope they figure out a way to quiet some of this noise. We say that all the time though, and they still haven't figured out a way to quiet the noise. I'm hoping that we're on a better path now. Mm-hmm. But again, we always feel like we're hoping that they're on a better path. So I think celebration is what Kings fans should be doing right now. They should be watching high school mixtapes of Shaedon Sharpe. They should be watching Jaden Ivey do Ja Morant things, looking exactly like Ja Morant.
Just like Ja. It's crazy.
I mean, like, literally, like, his publicist.
He's a little bigger, too.
We're going with the Ja Morant look with you, and that's where we're going. And he's like, okay, I'm in. You know, like, I think everyone should be figuring out how to say Palo Banquero. Banquero. Yeah. You know, and you should try to see if you can ever fall in love with the name Chet, because it's just like really hard. Like, sorry if there's any Chets out there listening, but you know, that's where we should be. That's what we should be enjoying this process. You know, Jabari Smith Jr. I mean, his dad literally played for the Kings.
Yeah.
Jabari Smith was a King. He's a player that I think they paid a bunch of money to shave his head.
Was like, do you know if Jabari Smith Jr. was born when Senior was playing here. So, like, could he be coming home? Could Junior be coming home to Sacramento?
I that's a good question. I would have to, like, I don't think so. I think Jabari was here a little bit further. Yeah, Jabari.
Because that's another storyline. Jabari coming home to Sacramento.
Let's see. So his last year was 02, and I think Jabari is younger than that. Which isn't that crazy. Jabari Smith Jr., I believe, was born after 2002.
Wow.
That's just... Oh, wait. No. He did come back in the 2003-04 season.
So Jabari could be coming home. Come on. Let's print the shirts. Come on home, Jabari. Come on.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's interesting. yeah, but, you know, there are a lot of good storylines here. And if you're a Kings fan, you should be really excited about what's next. This is fun because there is a lot riding on this, and everyone knows there's a lot riding on it, and everyone's main goal is to get this team back to prominence, back to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, let's not try to take away everything. My guy Sean Cunningham ruined the day yesterday with the early news. but of course it's news he had to break. Had to break because people were starting to ask questions about why Vivek's daughter was at the Chicago Combine. so that's, I mean, really, it's, you got to ask questions.
Yeah.
Let's just push forward and focus on the Jaden Ivey versus Shaedon Sharpe conversation and hope that maybe one of these big guys fall.
James, we heard me talking about it all the time and, you know, giving my thoughts. Shaedon Sharpe. No, I don't want Shannon here because I think he's a little past his prime. But I talked about how I want Shaedon Sharpe, how I'd be happy with Jaden Ivey. I could even see a world where, you know, I'd be like, all right, Keegan, let's go. Let's see what he's got. If they keep the pick, who do you think they should take?
They keep the pick. You know what? Like, you kind of got me close to Shaedon Sharpe. I really do hope that's not the choice. That's not who they're choosing between. I hope that somehow that one of the big guys fall to number four, because I think that is such a player of need. And all three of them are intriguing in their own right, and I think they all three could help the Kings in their own way. But Ivy's lack of defense is a slight concern. His fit with Fox is a slight concern, and I do like Sharpe and a lot of what I've seen. We'll have to see how all of his measurements come out and all that, but. I think that there's a lot of potential there. And if it were today, and I was asked very specifically, would you, you know, trade the pick or keep the pick? I'd trade the pick without any question, even if one of the bigs fell, unless it was, you know, very specific players. Mm-hmm. But I also would, you know, if I had to choose a player, it'd likely be Sharpe at this point. But that could change. That could change because I'd also try to move down one or two spots, pick up a couple more players.
Monty McNair, like Kenny Caraway on Friday Night Softball, swinging for the fences. Come on, swing for them fences, man. Ain't no singles going on around here. Ain't no. I'm not going Oppo Taco. Yeah, I'm swinging. I'm letting it go. I'm swinging that thing for the flagpole. All right, let's go. Let's get it done. But if you decide to trade, I'm okay with that too. All right, I'm okay with that too. Don't get it. The bottom line is get it. Right. That's the biggest thing, man. James, I appreciate you hanging out with me for 4 hours today, man. That was some fun stuff on a fun day for sure. And if anybody missed any of it, obviously you've got the podcast. But if you're checking in right now and you're like, oh, man, I wanted to hear what they had to say when they first got on the radio. Don't worry. We're running the best of right now on the Odyssey app on ESPN 1320 and on your car radios. Best of the D'Lo and KC show today that aired. And that'll lead into Warriors-Mavs Game 1 at 5:30 right here on ESPN 1320. And I'm going to go with the Warriors in Game 1. What you got, James?
Warriors.
Yeah. I think that'll be the case as well. It's going to be fun to see, though. It's definitely going to be fun to see. So, like I said, one of these days, we're going to be leading into Kings Thunder Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. That's the goal. Shaden Sharp, he's out there. He's got the strap. Jason Tatum got it right now. Shaden Sharp has the belt. I'm speaking it all into just existence, just like I did the whole top three, top four thing that I spoke into existence yesterday. I'm going to do it again with this, man. James, once again, man, I appreciate you, man. It's been a good time talking with you and vibing with you today, man.
You too, man.
All right, man. Once again, Damian should be back tomorrow. We'll see, man. This guy's out here champagneing and campaigning. So, you know, we'll see if we can catch up with him. I'll be here tomorrow. We'll be here with more Kings Talk tomorrow. And, yeah, man, go Warriors. And that's D-Lo and KC right here on ESPN 1320. See you guys tomorrow, man.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.